real people, real problems, real activism. Welcome to the Bob Tuscan Radio Show with your host, Bob Tuscan.
Welcome to tonight's Bob Tuscan Show. It's the first Wednesday of the month of October, which means we have James Evan Pilato joining us from MediaMonarchy.com and all the other great sites he has. James, welcome. As always, great to have you.
Thank you. It's good to be back.
Now let's start off and get this out of the way. Steve Jobs passed away.
Shut up.
Yep.
Did he really?
As of about 5 minutes ago, they made the announcement. And, well, that's how we'll start the broadcast, get that out of the way. Because as much as I love some of the technologies, and I'm not trying to talk down upon anyone, especially somebody who just passed away, I can already tell that the lamestream media will use this and dwell on it and continue it for the next couple weeks indefinitely.
Okay, so there it is. It is a trending topic on Google News, but it hasn't migrated to the top of the page. But yeah, you're right. Steve Jobs dies at the age of 56. Huh.
Yeah. I have a friend who said to me, they're not dying. They're just going underground, getting away from all the radiation and the chemtrails.
When it's interesting, and this comes the day after the big Apple release and fanboys right. That it's going to be the iPhone 5, and they're also disappointed that it's some other thing. But that's okay. So that is interesting.
Well, I knew he had some health problems, and he resigned a couple months ago or whenever it was. So it wasn't a huge surprise. But yeah, Steve Jobs died, and let's move on. And tonight we'll talk about a number of different things, but this Occupy movement is something that will come up again and again on tonight's show, I'm sure. James, what's your spin on this? This is just our short segment, but when we get back, we'll dig deeper into this and anything else you have planned.
I guess for me, as it began, I wasn't that surprised that it wasn't really being covered. And even over the last few days, as I look at the New York Times when I'm on break at work, and the Occupy Wall Street protests never ranked higher than page 17 and 18 of the A section, but it was the business section yesterday in the New York Times that actually had an article, you know, on the front page above the fold in the business section, saying where the reporter was basically contacted by a Wall Street CEO asking him to go check out the protest, basically asking, should I be worried? Should I be worried about the physical safety of my employees? And the article seems to make pains to basically find people who aren't very well informed. They ask someone about the, you know, well, what do you think about the Buffett rule? And they say, oh, I don't know who Warren Buffett is. But the really telling part is the last paragraph of the article where it mentions that, oh, some of the people I was talking to, I noticed them head over to the Bank of America ATM. And that, for me, kind of crystallizes what, you know, some of the problems and some of the areas that are kind of fraught with.
I say we have a run on the bank. Bank of America consists of 50% of Americans' bank accounts, okay? Something ridiculous like that. I don't remember the numbers. And I say we have a run on the bank. If you're an activist who's against the Fed and against what's going on with our economy and the bailouts and so on, and if you have an account with Bank of America, you're not doing any good for yourself or for bringing down the system or putting an end to it.
And they've never, you know, it's never been easier to be able to quit and to want to quit these, you know, broken on purpose institutions when last week, you know, Bank of America announced they were going to start charging debit card fees. And that seemed to have kind of the same effect as almost the Netflix, you know, we're going to raise our prices, where there is this outcry and people say, well, I'm going to quit. And for me, that's here in Oregon. Fortunately, there are some great credit unions. And when J.P. Morgan, in collusion with Sheila
Barrett. Yeah, you got to go to the credit unions. Hold that thought, James. We'll be right back. You know, Jay, James, we were talking about Bank of America before we had the break, and I just got this link from Karen Quintestado of United to Strike about Bank of America in St. Louis being barricaded by the SWAT team. They were trying to protect the bank from customers that were demanding access to their money.
Hmm.
Is that going to be what is, you know, going to end up happening? Are we going to see a run on the bank, a run, more importantly, on the Federal Reserve, hopefully?
And will that be the opportunity for Infragard to spring into action if we need to affect, you know, the critical infrastructure? But what I was going to quickly say before we went to the break, talking about credit unions here in Oregon specifically, that when J.P. Morgan and the FDIC pulled the controlled demolition on Washington Mutual, which was my bank at the time, as soon as J.P. Morgan took it, I was like, that's it. I quit. I'm not going to bank with you guys. And went to a credit union, and, you know, and it's been fine. It at least lets you kind of breathe slightly easier.
What about metals? Do you get into metals at all?
I have not so much yet. I know, actually, some folks in my family have, and even, you know, have raided some of the coin collections and were able to find, like, I forget exactly, you know, pre-1960, something, nickels are all going to be, you know, actual silver, and just finding all those kind of easy ways of things that you may have laying around the house.
Yeah. I had Bill Stills on, who made the Money Masters, and he made a new film, the Oz...
Secrets of Oz.
Secrets of Oz, yeah. And he makes some good points about the gold standard, because a lot of this talk about ending the Fed and putting an end to, you know, these big banks is, well, it's going to be in vain if we don't have an alternative that doesn't just feed into the interest of the few and the elite.
But that kind of can bring us to, I think, what we're going to talk about is there's not enough talk about ending the Federal Reserve, because now it's all about occupying Wall Street with various...
Well, I just got back, James, from my local and the Fed, my local Occupy Gainesville movement, okay? And I'm one of the kind of behind-the-scenes organizers, not trying to really be too involved. I want to remain independent in a sense, because I see a lot of the union folks and the socialists and the communists and whatnot getting involved, the MoveOn.org, even people who support Obama and that kind of thing. And so I've been hesitant to really put my name behind it. But that being said, the few organizers that are really stepping up to the plate, a good friend of mine and a local business owner, they are very much wanting to include the End the Fed rally. And today I spoke in front of this group, and I would say that at least 60% of them was receptive to the message of at least auditing the Fed. You know, End the Fed, maybe they don't fully understand it yet and don't understand that in its root, it's flawed, but they were very receptive to, you know, the topic of the Fed and its role on our country and on our economy and so on, and on Wall Street especially. So I gotta admit I was a bit surprised to see that it was well received, and then there were some, of course, that got up and spoke and said it's news to me that the Federal Reserve is part of the issue. But I just had to roll my eyes and bite my tongue, because I don't think that we should alienate this group necessarily. I think we should do everything we can to at least find some common grounds. You know, one of the things mentioned at the meeting today was to not talk about chemtrails or 9/11 conspiracies, right?
The kook detector.
Because they're trying to you know, welcome as many people as possible. And I also had to kind of roll my eyes at that, too, because although I'm personally willing to put aside chemtrails and 9/11 to come together on issues that we can agree with, that our entire financial system is fraudulent, I still think that we should be open to discussions and that we shouldn't have any one topic that is taboo. It shouldn't be that way.
That's the thing that kind of shows that a lot of these movements, unfortunately, are, you know, even when they begin as real kind of grassroots, they're co-opted and misdirected and kind of brought back into the fold. where they say, well, let's not talk about these things. Let's not worry about, you know, oh, we don't want to investigate or, you know, press charges against the Bush administration. We need to move forward and hope for the future and yada, yada. It's those things of excluding topics of debate because, of course, Noam Chomsky and Amy Goodman and all those places, you're not no talk about 9/11 or JFK or any of those things because those aren't, you know, acceptable, you know, topics for the foundation funded left. So that's those are kind of my misgivings, I guess, as this all started to unfold, is the question sort of, you know, well, why now? Why did this all finally kind of kick off now? And why not during all the, you know, bankster bailouts of the last couple of years? Why not during all the robo signing and the foreclosure gates and all of those things? That it seems to come from, you know, the foundation funded left, the Tides Foundation and Soros and all of those things. And again, we shouldn't maybe throw out the baby with the bathwater, just as you're saying, not to alienate people, to use this as an opportunity to connect up with folks. But for me, I guess I get frustrated sometimes when it feels like every 4 years or so, the whole populace is able to get whipped up into something and they say, oh, yeah, that's what I believe in now. I don't pay attention to it, you know, the other 11 months out of the year because I'm watching Dancing with the Stars and football and video games and all that.
No, this has become hip in a sense.
Oh, man, it's like the attention and the, I don't know if I'd necessarily use the word excitement, but it's totally palpable here. And over the last few days at work in Portland, I can see it and hear the discussions. So Occupy Portland kicks off tomorrow, and I plan to kind of go down with my digital recorder and my Media Monarchy T-shirt and just kind of do some, you know, man on the street reporting and basically just ask folks, you know, why are you here today? You know, what brings you out? But I guess and what you were talking about, you've seen the video with Adam Kokesh talking to the Occupy DC gang who basically are regurgitating Obama talking points and 4 more years and all of those things. It should be no less of a surprise that Obama, who has a background in foundations and the elite, you know, collegiate worlds and law.
Community organizer
and all of the Wall Street bankster connections. So when we see someone with a background like that, which, of course, we were all warning about in 2007, like, hey, look at this guy. You know, the things we can find out about his background seem to show he's a Wall Street creature. So why should we be surprised that his whole administration is marked by complete, you know, controlled demolition of the economy any more than we were surprised when a guy with military and oil background from, you know, a Texas carpetbagging family, that his whole administration would be marked by war and oil? That I guess it just frustrates me when I see people kind of constantly falling for it over and over again. And again, I ain't the smartest dude in the world, but I feel like I can just kind of pay attention and go, hey, we've kind of seen all this before, and it seems like we're still playing their game.
Yeah, well, it's a release valve that they're aware of, and they want to co-opt, if you will. And I say they. Who am I referring to? Well, you'll have to make up your own mind with that. But, James, we're coming up to a quick break. I can hear the music creeping up. When we get back, though, I want to talk a little bit more about this and some other stuff. But I do want people to go out there and be present. I want people to not stay at home, but to get active. All right. We'll be right back in just a moment. All right, welcome back to the Bob Tuscan Show. Next hour, we have David coming on. He wrote a piece called Occupy Yourself. We'll talk about his manifesto for Occupy, again, Yourself. And, of course, we're joined with James Evan Pilato, per usual, for this hour, first Wednesday of every month. If you miss any of the show, you can go to our website, bobtuscan.com, T-U-S-K-I-N. All of the archives are there for free, and James usually puts this up on his YouTube channel and his websites, Media Monarchy and so on. So it's definitely out there, and people can find it. Open source information, James. That's the way to do it, man. You can't withhold this stuff. You got to let it out. And we've been talking about the Occupy movement. Where do you think this is all going to go?
Well, I wonder if this is just the kickstart to the, you know, 4 more years Obama reelection campaign, as we're now almost, you know, just to a year before the elections, which, you know, as the cycles go by, takes up more and more and more and more time. Is, of course, we're only supposed to pay attention to the big, you know, the big show and pay no attention to what's going on in your own, you know, backyard. We're supposed to watch the, you know, the big WrestleMania show, right, if, you know, that's really going to affect our day-to-day lives. But as I guess to just kind of wrap up the Occupy Everywhere, that's kind of what it comes down to for me, is trying to make choices in my life that have hopefully put me in a position to where I haven't been screwed over by these corrupt institutions, because I knew that they were rigged, and I don't want to play a rigged game that I can't win. So for me, and maybe that's even what you were referring to with that manifesto, Occupy Yourself, that maybe kind of cuts to the heart of the matter. It's instead of, I'm going to go march and yell at these people who did these things to me, that yes, of course they have, and they're just waiting to bust out the sound wave cannons. Of course, NYPD is going to have, you know, no problem. And of course, they'll have a huge blast if and when violence breaks out, because they'll be able to bust out all their toys that we've tested on third world countries, and then we'll roll out the sound wave weapons. And there's virtually no escape and no, you know, defense against something like that. Occupy Yourself, I would kind of take it to mean, you know, check yourself and take some kind of responsibility for yourself. And again, maybe it's easy for me to say because I haven't been screwed by a corporation or lost my job that got shipped overseas or had my home foreclosed upon or any of those things. But again, I guess it kind of comes back to the point of, I want to play those games in the first place. That, to reference what I said before, that just being frustrated with the constant, you know, surprise and shock from people that, oh my God, I can't believe that snake bit me, or I can't believe that, you know, three card Monty on the corner was a scam, that we kind of keep falling for it again and again.
Well, the big part of this is the whole financial system as a whole. And people want to say it's about corporate financing of elections, that it's about the 99%ers. I did a look at the trends. Did you notice the emphasis on this 99% thing?
It's gone through the roof.
Yeah, it's funny to me, this 99%, you know, they keep saying we need a democracy, we need the majority to be heard,
mm-hmm.
but they don't realize how vulnerable we are with that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this isn't a democracy. We have a republic, and for a good reason, in my opinion.
Supposed to have a constitutional republic. And if you this is always a great kind of tool to help kind of blow people's minds, is to say, no, we're not necessarily supposed to be a democracy. We're supposed to be a constitutional republic. And just tell them, I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the democracy. Oh, wait, no, that's not. It's supposed to be a republic.
Yeah, so this 99%, I feel like this is how it really is. We got 10%, if that, on one end of the spectrum, and then maybe 1% on the other end of the spectrum, and all the Dancing with the Star fans in the center.
Mm-hmm.
Because at the end of the day, I think the real divide is between those who are apathetic and those who are willing to stand up.
Does this... In a way, though, does this mirror some kind of, you know, the way the Third Reich began? It's like, oh, well, get the, you know, the disaffected, you know, young people, and then get the unemployed, and then get the trans, you know, and all the other folks, and you'll have these people as, you know, again, people have speculated, oh, could this turn into Obama's civilian national security force that needs to be just as powerful, just as strong, just as well-funded as the military?
I think there's a potential for that. But I also see that there's a lot of free spirits involved with this. So I don't think it's cohesive enough, perhaps, to lead towards one Hitler Youth type group. I just think it's too scattered. And I know that's one of the criticisms that the lamestream has applied to this, is that there's not one set of demands.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that's true. But the bottom line is, we need to be a part of this and speak our minds, regardless of who started it or who's involved now. It's important that in general we take advantage of these movements and let our voices be heard. You know, say, hey, here we are. Mm-hmm. We're the guys who are anti the Fed. We're the guys who don't like the, you know, some of these other problems that we have in our world today. And without alienating people, say, here we are. You know, as much as I support you guys and don't want to be divisive, here we are. And we are very much a part of taking a stand and doing something. Now, maybe I'm being Pollyannish with all this. I don't know. Maybe that sounds better on paper than it does in reality. I don't know.
Well, and you can unfortunately make the pretty strong argument that the reason, you know, the so-called conservatives are so successful is that they'll pretty much get in lockstep on whatever kind of issue or whatever moral panic of the day. They'll all get behind each other because they'll get the churches and they'll get those, you know, community organizations, and they all come together and will kind of vote as a unit. But then the left and the well-meaning left and the so-called progressives will all battle each other and say, I'm not going to support you because I don't think you're punk, or you're not a vegetarian, or you think 9/11 was an inside job, or all of those things. So it's a huge fracture.
Yeah, there was already in our local group demands to not have hamburger-eating Diet Coke drinkers there.
That's, yeah, so I don't want any meat next to me because I'm vegan and you're not. Yeah, so that, I mean, those are the things that, because I would more align myself with, you know, traditional progressive kind of left causes, at least socially, and those are the things that, yeah, oh, you eat meat, so I can't have you next to me.
We need to put that stuff aside. Although it's good to bring awareness to the fact that the food they're eating is poisoned, still, I don't think that we should make demands to exclude people who, you know, people should have the freedom of choice to do what they want. At the end of the day, I'm a libertarian, and as long as you're not violating natural law, you're all right with me.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what it comes down to. I want to shift gears here a little bit. There's lots to talk about. One of the stories that you brought forth to me that I want to get to at some point here, and we only have a minute before we're going to take another quick break, James. But I want to talk about this Starbucks story.
It still really relates. And
it does.
We're saying we were going to find that the Occupy stories kind of weave their way through the different areas. That, yeah, so things I've posted on Food World Order and Cyberspace War still connect back to the Occupy Wall Street, even though this isn't explicitly about that. But it's an article from Paul Joseph Watson. Starbucks launches Jobs for USA PR stunt with a Wall Street front group. It's called Let's Create Jobs for USA, and it's being bankrolled, of course, by the likes of Bank of America and Goldman Sachs. And
of course, all the usual suspects. James, let's talk about that right when we get back from this quick break. Don't go anywhere, folks. It's the Bob Tuscan Show with James Evan Pilato of MediaMonarchy.com, FoodWorldOrder.com, and all the other great sites he has. We'll be right back. James, well, if you drink Starbucks coffee, you're not able to be involved with our movement because we only drink fair trade organic coffee from the Himalayas.
And of course, you know, and I'm sure you're probably sitting in the same situation that, you know, you could be at a Starbucks in about 90 seconds, probably, just like me.
Yeah, there's one in the library here at the university. They have them in all the airports now. You go get your pat down and you have a nice cappuccino, whatever.
So, starting November 1st, Starbucks will begin collecting donations of $5 or more from customers to stimulate U.S. job growth through its Jobs for USA program. Customers who make the donation will receive a wristband with the word indivisible.
From the makers of the bailout.
Exactly. So this is being fronted in a partnership with something called Opportunity Finance Network that is, like I said, bankrolled by Bank of America and Goldman and Deutsche and JP Morgan and Wells Fargo and Morgan Stanley. And there's a nice, long, illustrious history of Starbucks and the Obamasiah working hand in hand. There's the Pelosi Venti vouchers Starbucks bailout story from 2008. There's, oh yeah, on election day 2008, Starbucks offered a free cup of coffee to anybody who voted, not necessarily voted for Obama, but of course they're all in major, you know, city areas where most folks are going to vote for whatever has the D.
Coffee is a $55 billion a year industry. And, of course, Starbucks has monopoly on much of that.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a big lobby. And anytime we see these lobbies and now with corporations being able to donate as individuals, you're going to see more of this, more of the corporate world getting involved, namely Starbucks with their new logo that doesn't actually have words in it, of some creepy figure. I'm sure there's all sorts of symbolism behind this new logo. Can I play this clip real quick that you had on the article? Let's listen to this story about the demands of customers paying an extra $5 on top of that $10 cup of coffee already. Check it out.
Good morning, I'm Chuck Pierce, and you're watching the Financial News Network. Coffee retailer Starbucks is expecting customers will be willing to pay $5 more when they grab a coffee on their morning run.
Yeah, right.
Beginning November 1st, Starbucks will start gathering $5 or more from patrons to inspire customers' U.S. job growth through its program called Jobs for USA. The coffee chain teamed up with nonprofit company Opportunity Finance Network that works with an estimated 200 community development financial institutions to supply private loans to small businesses and community groups. Starbucks CEO Howard Schultz said, quote, "This is about using Starbucks scale for good." He also noted that he thinks that he feels responsible for the work on some of its effort to move the U.S. economy. Starbucks hires about 200 people a day in the U.S. as piece of its effort to modernize thousands of stores and add an extra 200 locations in the next year. Now, Starbucks has a potential upside of 21.9% based on a current price of $37.29 and an average consensus analyst price target of $45.47. For more updates, keep it right here.
All right, so there you go.
Well, I was going to say, I like the irony of it, talking about, you know, small business loans. Yeah, I mean, I'd kind of like to open an independent coffee shop. Oh, wait, that's right. None of them ever last because they all get put out of business by the loss leader operation of places like Starbucks. Same thing Walmart does to your local grocery stores. Drive down wages, drive down prices, destroy the mom and pops. Then they'll close those superfluous and all the extra Walmarts and supercenters they've built up, and that's how it works. That's how gangsters go.
All right. Well, on another end of the spectrum here, I found this article, actually. One of the people that posts on my site found it and posted it, so I'm glad you wanted to talk about it. Another mass animal die-off. Millions of bees mysteriously die in my home state of Florida. Now, we've been talking about the bees on and off and what the deal is with the bees. And a lot of people quote Albert Einstein and him saying that if the bees were to go extinct, that humanity would be extinct shortly after. And although that, from what I understand, has been shown to be not an actual quote from him, I do believe that there's something to that because, again, as you know, with the Food World Order site that you run and your awareness of what they're trying to do to control our food, pollinators are an extremely important aspect to our food supply. They are behind a lot of the food that we take for granted, and without them, we're in a sticky situation.
And for me, it has been a part of what was seemingly, and you and I may have talked about this in the past, that it seemed like 2011 was kicked off with mass animal die-offs and all the bird deaths. And then as the months have gone by through this year, there's the dead bird events, the dead fish events, the millions of dead anchovies floating to the surface, and just all these kind of – it makes me wonder, you know, what's going on? And – let's tie it right back to the Occupy movement, that, of course, people are going to talk about, you know, global warming and all of those things. So that'd be an interesting thing to maybe throw in, say, okay, I won't talk about 9/11 truth if you won't talk about anthropogenic man-made global warming. They probably wouldn't go for that, though.
Yeah. Has Al Gore gone down to the Occupy movement yet? I'm waiting to see him.
I don't know. But, you know, and that we didn't even touch on that when we were discussing it mainly. And, like, we're back on Occupy again. So when you see people like Michael Moore or Tom Morello of Rage Against the Soundgarden.
Susan Sarandon.
Yeah, and you see all these people come out. It's like, you guys work for these multinational corporations. And do you think Michael Moore with his agent, Ari Emanuel, who's portrayed as Ari Gold in the HBO show.
Yeah, Rahm's brother is actually Ari Gold from Entourage.
Sons of an Irgun terrorist. And do you think as, and if you've ever even watched Entourage or watch, you know, media behind the scenes stuff, one little thing you say could, you know, damage that film you're about to release, and all your PR people and handlers or agents are going to go, oh my God, you know, why did you say that negative thing about your movie that's about to come out? Do you really think that Ari Emanuel and the Hollywood machinery would let Michael Moore run his mouth about this kind of stuff if it were actually a threat to the system? I think it's the same thing, yeah, with someone like Tom Morello, who, like I said, you know, Rage Against the Soundgarden. It's like, oh, you work for Universal and BMG and major multinational corporations. Yes, they still do good activist work. But again, it just makes me wonder, you know, would you guys really be allowed to say this by, you know, your paymasters if it were really going to be a threat?
What do you think about this Dylan Radigan guy? Have you come across him yet?
I think, he's said and, you know, had great segments and things on his show. I think he's just the kind of fake left counterpart to the Glenn Beck, you know, fake conservative, because MSNBC kind of, they've staked out the position, at least on TV, of, oh, we're, you know, we're the fake liberal network. What do you think?
Yeah, I don't know about this Dylan guy. He's been making the rounds, it seems. He actually went down there and was talking to the protesters, and I heard what he had to say, but like you said, I do think it's kind of the co-opted version of the Tea Party for the left.
Mm-hmm. So, and that's been the speculation, yeah, about the whole Occupy thing. Is this, you know, well, the left has really wanted, you know, their kind of Tea Party, you know, movement. So maybe this is the beginning of that. But as we've said before, the Tea Party movement is just the co-opted, you know, neutered version of what was the more libertarian Ron Paul campaign for liberty in the Federal Reserve, in the drug wars, in the, you know, wars abroad, personal responsibility, and all those things have been kind of taken away and misdirected. You won't hear any Tea Party people talking about ending the drug war, ending the wars. They got co-opted. So that is maybe what we're looking at with this kind of situation, is to not let people like Michael Moore or Tom Morello or any of the other kind of talking heads who, you know, live in Los Angeles, you know, who are, they're basically, they're celebrities. Now, I'm not one of those kind of people who's, oh, you know, shut up and sing. You know, you're a singer. I don't care about your political. Of course they have their right, and they have just as much reason to speak out on issues as anyone else does.
No, I got a lot of friends that are in the music biz and do a lot of great work and include me in on their gigs and have given me the opportunity to speak in front of thousands of people. Thousands of people. Michael Franti, I don't know if you know him. He's kind of popular. He was at the Occupy stuff just jamming out, you know, just hanging out, jamming out. And a lot of these guys, I guess, you know, they have some good stuff. And the good thing is that they reach a lot of people. But as far as I can tell, James, if you reach a lot of people and you don't take advantage of that, then you're a part of the problem.
And then when you see folks who do take advantage of using that huge, you know, bullhorn or pedestal or, you know, speaking platform, they get whacked.
That's true. Look at John Lennon. The list goes on and on and on. And folks, we'll pick it up in just a moment to talk about some other issues. Putin from Russia over there is acting all crazy and wants a Eurasian Union, and we'll talk about that and so much more, a little bit about the hackers. Don't go anywhere, folks. It's a Bob Tusk Show. Okay, it's the final segment with James Evan Pilato. But don't worry, he'll be back next month for his regular appearance on the Bob Tuscan Show. James, lots to talk about here, so we'll try to get through a few of these different articles at one of your many websites, of course, the Hub, MediaMonarchy.com. One of the things we were talking about off the air was Yahoo Mail and their email client that was censoring early on a lot of this Occupy Wall Street stuff. Now, they claim they weren't censoring it. They said it was some sort of technical problem. But it's interesting to me to see the technologies being censored or controlled when we have big movements like that. We saw the cell phone companies turning off cell phone communication for the Bay Area transport rally and in London. And to me, it's a sign that they're going to crack down on these technologies that we're using for our advantage while we still have them before Internet 2 or something else occurs. And it's very interesting. And then we see the pretext of these hackers, the anonymous groups and LulzSec and these, and we've talked about this, that we're not sure are really getting anything done except feeding into the dialectic of them having an excuse to come down and crack down on us.
Uh-huh. So an article I have posted on cyberspaceboard.com, DHS warns that hackers may be motivated by Occupy Wall Street. The protests have been a way to fuel people's anger at Wall Street, and the Department of Homeland Security's concerns such high-profile events may inspire hackers to once again target big financial institutions. And that's what you just said. It's like all of these things, whether that's, you know, the hackers or WikiLeaks or all this, it's like, who is this actually benefiting?
I don't know.
Well, that's always the question.
Wasn't this, I've heard some people say that originally this Occupy was anonymous.
I've heard that, but I've also heard that, you know, it kind of traces back essentially to Adbusters, which is the magazine, and adbusters.org, which does do great work. You know, their Buy Nothing Day campaign, or, you know, Turn Off the TV Week, I think are all, you know, amazing, worthwhile, and have had, you know, huge success and are kind of great endeavors. But they are, you know, they're just another foundation-funded outlet. And I think, oh, and actually their current issue that's on newsstands right now is American Autumn. So not American Spring, as has been the term, as if, you know, the Arab Spring, now it's time for American Spring. They're calling it American Autumn. And the cover is this dark, evil-looking crow. And it's all black, and then, you know, with the red lettering, and it's pretty sinister-looking.
Wow. MoveOn.org, I've also heard mentioned as being behind some of this. The typical figures in the left, if you will.
So maybe that's the key in what you mentioned earlier. Occupy yourself.
We're going to talk about that next hour with a good friend of mine from You Have Tread on Me. And he's got an interesting piece he wrote about that. So we'll talk about that. You know, we're all about self-sufficiency here, James, and being prepared, taking control of your own life. If you're eating garbage and poisoning yourself and aren't aware and autodidact, learning things for yourself, being self-taught, then you're a part of the problem, and it starts with yourself.
Mm-hmm.
So, anyways, there's lots to talk about here, so I don't want to take too much time here to digress on my deep philosophies. But let's talk about, let's see here, there's a supercomputer, another article from Cyberspace War.
Mm-hmm.
Supercomputer predicts the revolution through... What is this word?
Well, I think it's pronounced culturomics.
Culturomics, okay. Thank you.
I think it's basically almost something like the Webbot project. Basically going all of the web to look for signs of unrest or revolution. And this article from the Singularity Hub is essentially mostly talking about all the things that led up to the Arab Spring, and that they can categorize it and go sentiment mining and discover and look at it and go, oh, well, okay, we could predict all these things were going to happen.
So it sounds pretty similar to, for those of our listeners who are already aware of the Webbot, to that. But if you don't know about the Webbot, Cliff High's got this program where he looks at algorithms, and he's got a deep science behind it. I actually interviewed him on Truth Frequency a while back, so check that out if you're interested in that stuff. So it's very interesting that they're being able to predict this stuff, and if they can use it to predict things like this, What else are the powers that shouldn't be using this technology for? They have to be aware of it.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, and that almost brings up, you know, the seed vaults and all of those things. Like, wow, they kind of look like they're prepping for something, and they're not going to tell us what it is until it's, you know, far too late for us. And hell, maybe it even is anyway. But let, and I guess just in our remaining couple of moments here, I'll blast through some of the other related things and some of the things we're, you know, maybe going to talk about more broadly on this appearance. But Putin wants Eurasian Union to compete with U.S. and European Union.
Well, that's the plan. You got to get all these unions together so that eventually we can go from that to the one world government.
Huh? And, you know, and Eurasia's always been at war with, however the saying from the, of course, the prophetic George Orwell book. But the update that I have with this Eurasian Union story from the Telegraph, leaked document reveals Russia plans to eliminate enemies overseas, gave their agents a license to kill. So we can look at that and go, oh, my God, can you believe those Russians? They're killing their enemies abroad without any judicial oversight. That kind of sounds like a country I know and live in, where we can assassinate U.S. citizens abroad with no, you know, no trial, no evidence, and we can just kill him. You know, I'm talking about, of course, Iraqi
here
in Yemen. Pay no attention to the fact that he dined at the Pentagon after 9/11 because he helped the underwear bomber and he helped the Fort Hood shooter and he even maybe helped our own Portland tree bomber.
Well, he speaks English. You know, he's very good with English, and a lot of these guys in the caves aren't as good, so.
Mm-hmm.
Gotta watch out for him.
Something else quickly, and I don't know if we've talked about this or not. I definitely, as the last several months have gone by, I use Twitter a whole lot more, and I enjoy it because it's just content. And as of now, it hasn't yet been bought up by a multinational corporation who will ruin it and destroy it. But I have twitter.com/MediaMonarchy, but I also have a couple other accounts that will just focus on music. I've got Pump Up the Volume, and that just kind of focuses on music, which, Bob, you know, you and I will talk about music and media. And I also have twitter.com/NavigateNetflix. So in lieu of, you know, the production of the forthcoming third episode from NavigatingNetflix.com, I have the page set up and have the Twitter account, so I'll still just kind of talk about and discuss, you know, things that are on Instant Watch or film news or, you know, things that are kind of within that area. And there are so many great things to watch on Netflix or Quixtar or whatever your portal may be. I don't really care how you get the media. I think it's important that you do the media.
Absolutely. I've been behind navigating Netflix stuff from the very beginning. I'm glad you guys are doing that. And I hope people gather on forums and these kind of things to use it to share information and to share good films that you can find. We got to use these resources while we still have them, James. And to me, that's the bottom line. All right, James, thank you very much. Let's see, how much time do we have? We're down to our last 20 seconds here. So go ahead, wrap things up. Anything else you'd like to mention?
Well, I'm going to, as we mentioned earlier, I'm going to try and hit the streets tomorrow with our own Occupy Portland to just do some man on the street, asking folks, you know, what brought them out and see what really goes down and see maybe where this whole Occupy movement is heading.
Very good.
MediaMonarchy.com is the flagship site. Thank you.
Cool, James. Thanks a lot. And I hope everybody else gets out to your local movement, regardless if you think it's co-op.
I feel so sorry for you youngsters today.